I'm Tony Koski. I'm the Extension Turf Specialist at Colorado State University. And we're going to talk a little bit about lawn renovation using alternatives to glyphosate. And the reason this comes up is we get a lot of questions from people about how to renovate their lawns, change from bluegrass to buffalo grass, something like that. And our recommendation is that you eliminate the existing grass in order to give the new grass a fair chance to come in, and then so you don't have a mix of grasses, which people oftentimes don't like. Our recommendation is that you use Roundup for that renovation process, but because of a lot of bad publicity out there and people not understanding science and misunderstanding glyphosate and environmental impacts of glyphosate, there's growing opposition to the use of Roundup in landscapes. So people kind of read everything about Roundup ready crops, and that misinformation translates into not wanting to use Roundup in their own home landscapes. So as a result of that, they often turn to alternatives, things that they hear about on Martha Stewart's show, or they read about in just recently Consumer Reports put out a lot of bad information on controlling weeds in your landscape. And so they believe these sources of information, but there's no science to back those up. And if there was science, probably Consumer Reports, even though they claim to be science-based, they wouldn't be spreading that misinformation. Martha Stewart, I'm sure she doesn't care about science. So people, they hear about using culinary vinegar is a weed control option. So in order just to get some information and for our own sake and extension to have something science-based and actually have some research to be able to back up our recommendations that they use something effective versus ineffective, we decided to do this research. And actually we used this as a class project for our turf class. We had our students actually go through this last year, and then I did a few other projects, and then this year we replicated some of those studies. But essentially what we did was looked at culinary vinegar, which is 5% acetic acid, but this is a very popular one on the internet for people to make recipes. A lot of times they'll mix it with salt, which would not be a good thing to put on during a lawn renovation. But and then also horticultural vinegar, which is 20% acetic acid. And horticultural vinegar, 20% acetic acid, is a viable weed control option. Is used in organic vegetable production, and it can be very effective, basically against very small annual or seedling weeds. It's not going to control bindweed and Canada thistle and quackgrass and Bermuda grass, those types of perennial grasses, at least with one application. And the label, if you go to the label for, and this is an example, this is a widely used one in organic production, they're very honest about what this product will control. The downside of the horticultural vinegar is it does have this danger label. But consumers can buy this. We have local garden centers in Fort Collins where people can buy this product, not understanding it's a very hazardous product. This will burn your skin. If you get it in your eyes, you may not be able to see out of that eye or eyes ever again. So it's a very dangerous product, but people think because it's organic, it's safe. So that was one of the messages we wanted to confer to our students, is that just because something's organic does not mean it's safe to use, and it is you can be cavalier in using that product. And these products, because they're contact herbicides, and this just shows it's kind of hard to see in that picture, but I did spray this with a horticultural vinegar. And so this is a crabgrass growing in bluegrass. Number one, they're non-selective. And number two, they are contact herbicides, so there's no translocation. So you just kind of burn back what's there. If there's enough energy in that plant, enough growing points that are still viable, you get new shoots. In this case, it really didn't even control that crabgrass very well, and that was seedling crabgrass. So So very often, and again, this label is forthcoming, you're going to have to use multiple applications, even to control annual weights, much less a perennial plant like bluegrass or ryegrass or quackgrass or any of those perennial grasses. So this shows, this is just a picture of our study with our undergrads in our turf class. And those dark stripes you can see, that's where the horticultural vinegar or the acetic acid, the culinary vinegar, was applied. And within about an hour, even a half hour on a very hot sunny day, you see visible wilting and burning of that tissue. Again, the problem is there's no translocation, there's no systemic activity. So you burn things back, come back a week later, the grass is up and growing again. So the point of our research was to see, could you space out, could you reapply this product enough times in order to get control of these perennial grasses and in order to do a renovation, switch from one species to another. So this just shows some plots that I put out. And again, our thinking was, how many times do you have to reapply this? What kind of frequency or spacing on those applications? And again, comparing culinary vinegar, the horticultural vinegar, and glyphosate. So this shows how much of the material we put out in our research. Probably the most interesting part of this, and the one that people don't consider, is the cost of using these. So horticultural grade vinegar is very expensive, at least if you buy it by the gallon. Now, if you buy a 50-gallon drum, I'm sure it's less expensive, but who wants to buy that much of it? But when you look at this cost, we're talking about $34 per 1,000 square feet. Here's the culinary or food grade vinegar. But then look at those numbers compared to using Roundup Pro. So we're talking a considerable differential in cost, and this is why, you know, it's very cost effective to use glyphosate. But again, kind of like with the previous talk, people that want to do things a certain way, they're kind of price insensitive. It's like, I don't care how cheap it is, I want to use, you know, this. So for some people, this would not be a big deal. For me, it would be a big deal. And so this just shows what I'm going to show you is, I'm just going to show you pictures. And really the key here is, does it work or not? You know, if you get 90% control of Bermuda grass you're trying to kill, that's essentially as bad as getting 5% control. Because if you just leave a little bit of it there, it's going to be back again. So either you want 100% control, or really it's not going to work. That's your goal when you're doing a renovation. So what we were looking for is, can you get 100% control with any of these products? So what I'm going to show you here are some pictures. So here's glyphosate. And I just want to backtrack. We know just from past experience, one application of these acetic acid products is not going to control these grasses. So essentially the photos I'm going to show you are two applications or three applications at 10-day intervals. So we did one application, waited 10 days, put a second one on, then put a third one on 10 days later. Okay. So what we're looking at here is glyphosate. And you know, one thing to know about glyphosate is that it isn't always very effective at controlling these perennial grasses in a renovation project. And this is Kentucky bluegrass, which people would assume this should be easy to control. But you can see here, even after two applications of glyphosate, we've still got some escapes, if you will, some Kentucky bluegrass that wasn't controlled. So if a systemic product isn't going to give you a good control, how can you expect the vinegar to? And again, here's the 20% acetic acid, and you can still see there's a lot of grass that is actually very healthy looking after the second application. And then same thing, and even more with the 5% acetic acid. So clearly, two applications is not going to control these, but even glyphosate really did not provide really great control. I looked at four different species. I'm not going to show you all these pictures, but we looked at bluegrass, perennial ryegrass, Bermuda grass, which is a pretty common weed in our lawns in Colorado. People find it hard to believe Bermuda grass could grow in Colorado, but it does. And then also zoysia grass, which can become a pretty common weed. But the perennial ryegrass, very relatively similar to a Kentucky bluegrass. After two applications, there were still a few escapes with the glyphosate. The acetic acid, the 20%. Again, you can see down in here there's still a lot of green. So one of the things that might be considered, because this is a contact, is after that first application to maybe mow some of that brown stuff off. So with the second application, you can get more contact with the foliage. And again, the idea is you keep burning that stuff back and hope the plant runs out of energy to put up any more leaf. And then here's with the 5%, you can see still, again, a lot of green living stuff with the culinary vinegar. So what happens when you put a third application on? So what I did was, after these two applications, I split the plots, and then I put a third application again 10 days later. So these photos are taken 10 days after the third application. Okay, if you can kind of get that in your mind. So that's on the left. So here's three applications. This is glyphosate. You can still see here's a few little survivors after two, but with three applications, and this is not unusual to take three applications in a lawn renovation to get good control of perennial grasses. With the 20% acetic acid, you can see with three applications, pretty darn good control, but there's still a few in there. So it might take four applications. Okay, and you start thinking about that $30 per thousand times four, talking about $120 to control grass in 1,000 square feet. I'm not sure, but you can see how much regrowth occurred here without that third application. Here's the culinary vinegar, clearly not going to work. So I think what happens is people use the culinary vinegar, they see that brown, that quick burn down, they say, oh, it works. And not understanding how these things work, they might be fooled into believing that culinary vinegar is going to be effective. So what are our conclusions? Two applications, you'll get close to 100% with the glyphosate on 10-day intervals. I didn't show you the pictures of the Bermuda and Zoysia. Those are very difficult to control, and we only got about 90% control. They're going to be back. So even with those, we have to go with probably four applications of glyphosate. The 5% acetic acid is not effective. No matter what Martha Stewart says, it's not going to work. Then the 20%, we got, I think, you could say close to 100% control, maybe 99%, probably a fourth one to finally finish that grass off. So that is a viable option. Economically, I'm not sure if it is a viable option, but for those people who are price insensitive, it might be an option, an alternative to glyphosate. So we'll keep doing this to see if maybe that fourth application is absolutely necessary to get 100% control. So there's some hope out there for people who don't like glyphosate. Any questions? Yes. Yeah, exactly. In fact, that's on the label still. Ammonium sulfate is a adjuvant with Roundup. What I was trying to do here was to do it the way a homeowner would. Yeah. Not reading the label, that kind of thing. No.
Do you have plans to publish this?
Yeah, I think I want to do it another year. We had a very unusual weather year in Colorado this year, so who knows how real this was. So
with the acetic acid at 20%, how long would you have to wait before rain so it didn't wash off? Is it within an hour, like you said, or do you think it
takes longer? Usually it doesn't rain much in Colorado. But yeah, I would say you'd probably want to wait a couple hours. It dries pretty darn quickly, and I think once it's dried, it's probably going to do most of its damage. You know, something else I didn't talk about is these work much better if it is a cloudless sunny day, which we get a lot of in Colorado, but if it's cloudy and cool, I don't think you're going to get nearly as good a burn as on a hot sunny day. Okay, thanks.